It is great gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we begin a brand new Masechta in the Daf Yomi cycle, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And we begin, of course, Daf Beis. All the Bavlis start with Daf Beis. We begin at the very top with the Mishnah. Arboa Rosh Hashanim Heim. There are four different types of, quote, Rosh Hashanahs. In other words, there are four periods of the year, the four types of calendars in the Jewish calendar, like we have a fiscal year, like we have a calendar year, like we have a school year, an academic year. So too, there are different halachos regarding different months of the year in halacha. So there are four that the Mishnah is describing. Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim. There are four different types of Rosh Hashanah. Gemara will explain much of them in much more detail, as Rashi keeps on pointing out, Mefarish B'Gemara, but we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain most of them, other than the rudimentary understanding that we need to be able to get through the Mishnah. So there are these four calendars in the Jewish calendar. Number one is B'Echad B'Nisan. The first of the four Rosh Hashanahs is the first day of the month of Nisan, which is Rosh Hashanah L'Melochim V'L'Regolim. This is for counting the years of a king. Their year changes over from being their first year to their second year, from the second year to third year, as they go through the first day of the month of Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is the calendar year for a king's reign. As Rashi points out, Regilim Hayu Limnos Zaman Shtarosehem L'Shnos HaMelech. Rashi says, based upon a Gemara in Gittin, that they would determine when the year's reign was for document writing. So they would say this document was written in the first year or the second year, the third year of so-and-so's reign. How did you decide when their reign started? It wasn't when they began their reign. The person began their reign on the 15th day of the month of Tammuz. So their first year wasn't until next year's 15th day month of Tammuz, and then the second year was till the next year's 15th month of Tammuz, then the third year, etc. No, it didn't work like that. Whenever your reign started, so your reign was considered in the first year until you hit Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now that it was Aleph Nisan, so now you began your next year of your reign, your second year, your third year, your fourth year, etc. And Rashi explains, based upon the Gemara in Gittin, that this was done Mishum Malchus, Shalom Malchus. This is to make peace between Klal Yisrael and the Goyishan nations. Now, that's what Rashi points out over here, which, based upon the Gemara in Gittin, seems to be talking about the non-Jewish nations, that the Jewish people would be showing the nation that they lived in, that we have deference towards your king, and therefore we document our shtaros, our documents. We say, this is in the year of such and such of King so-and-so. So, therefore, Tosus doesn't like this explanation, because Tosus says the Gemara in Gittin is talking about Goyisha kings, and here we're talking about dating it, as we'll see in the Gemara in tomorrow's year, based upon the Jewish kings. This is the Rosh Hashanah for the Melachim, is for the Jewish kings, Lav Davka for the non-Jewish kings. And therefore Tosus says, V'tzarech l'farish, de'ein sarach shalom malchus, ela beget isha l'fishu dover godo, u'milsu dechashivas, l'fisha idei get, muteres l'chol odo, v'choshim yishar shtaros. So Tosus limits this only to one type of get. However, the Pnei Yoshua defends Rashi, as he almost always does, and he argues that no, when Rashi says we have a Shalom Malchus, it means to create peace between the Jewish nations and the Goyish nations. So we were amongst the Goyish nations, so they shouldn't say, hey, you document your shtaros according to the Jewish kings, and you're giving them more chashivas than you do to us. So this, to create Shalom Malchus, he explains, is when we went into Galus, so they should give understand that we're giving them the same chashivas as we give our kings. So he says the din applies. This Shalom Malchus was for Jewish kings, and it's only there in the Gemara in Gittin that it's referring to non-Jewish kings. Aruch Lanier says a similar terrace. He says that basically this applies to Shalom Malchus, applies to both Malchus Yisrael as well as the Malchus of the Umin. In any event, this first statement of the Abba Rosh Hashanim is referring to Echad B'Nisan, is to document documents according to the local king. U'L'Regalim, and this the Gemara will explain, has to do with when you're over the Isser of Baal Ta'achi, and I'll delay bringing your korbanos, so it will tell us it depends upon whether the Regalim have passed. So there are a number of different shitas. We actually alluded to them in the Gemara in Beitza, and we'll get to that in Mi'etz Hashem to explain what it means over here that Echad B'Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim. That's the first Rosh Hashanah, the first type of calendar. The next one is B'Echad B'Elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa B'Hema. The first day of the month of Elul is the start of the animal year, the husbandry year, in terms of that you're not allowed to go and take off Maisa Behema from animals that are born in different years. The din of Maisa Behema is that a person has 10 animals born within a certain year, so he has to go and pass them through his corral, and the 10th one is given as a korban. It's not given to the levy, it's given to yourself. You bring it as a korban, and you're entitled to eat it. So you define whether the animals are born in the same year or not, according to the first opinion here, based upon Echod B'Elul. That's the fiscal year, if you wish, for the animals. Any animals born from Elul 1 until the 30th day of Av, so those are considered one fiscal year in terms of taking off Maisa Behema. If they're born some before the first day of Elul and some after the first day of Elul, so then they can't be concluded together in the same counting for the Maisa Behema. That's the first opinion that we have of the animal husbandry rule for Maisa Behema. Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon, they disagree. Omrim b'Echad B'Tishrei. They say that no, Echad B'Tishrei is the year for Maisa Behema. Animals born before Echad B'Tishrei, those born after Echad B'Tishrei, they can't be combined together to make the 10 animals required to take off Maisa Behema. That's the second calendar. The third calendar is B'Echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Here is where we are familiar with the terminology of Rosh Hashanah, most in the vernacular, and that is that the calendar year starts from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So while Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first month of the year, Tishrei is the seventh month of the year. Nevertheless, when we count, we just went into 5782, Tav Shin Pei Beis, that transferred from 5781 to 5782 on the first day of Tishrei. That is what it means, Lishonim. And more will explain the practical nafkamina of this when we get to Daf Ches, as Rashi points out. The next din that Tishrei, Echad B'Tishrei, is important for in terms of Rosh Hashanah is L'shmitin Uliyovlos. As Rashi points out, Mishenichnas Tishrei, also Lachrosh V'Lizroa Minatorah. In the Daraisa level, you're not allowed to go plow and plant in the Shemitah year. This year, 5782 is a Shemitah year. So you're not allowed to go and plow and plant during the Shemitah year. When does that year start? So Rashi points out that it starts min Daraisa from Echad B'Tishrei. Now, there are many dinim that actually apply in the month preceding, which we'll get to when we get to the Gemara as well. So for the counting of Shemitah, and therefore the counting of Yovel as well. Yovel is after seven Shemitah cycles. It's a famous machlokes in Yehuda and Chachamim, whether it's the 49th year or the 50th year is the Yovel. So to decide when the Yovel year starts, when the Shemitah year starts, that is determined by Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. In addition, Linatiyah, Rashi explains Linatiyah means Leminyan Shnei Orla, for a tree to know that the fruits during the first 3 years are also to eat, they're forbidden because of the din of Arla, and in the fourth year, they're now able to be eaten, so you have to know, when do you count the year from? So Rashi explains, Afilu nota bi'av, even if you planted it just right before Tishrei, in the month of Av, Kol Shtosh Nasa Rishona, that's considered the end of the first year, it's not a complete, full 12-month year, no, it goes by the calendar, and therefore, even though you planted it in Av, and the tree is only a month and a half, 2 months old, when you hit Tishrei, so nevertheless, that's called the end of the first year, and now you're starting the beginning of the next year. Kol Shnos HaRishona L'Sof Elul, when Elul is over, that's the end of that year. Obakulu, before each time of Gemara. The Gemara will explain, as Rashi points out, the reasoning behind this. The next one is L'Yirakos, for vegetables. What is this din? So Rashi explains, L'Maisi Yerek, in terms of taking off Maiser on your vegetables, so you're supposed to take off She'ein Tarmin U'Masrin Min HaNilkat L'Fnei Rosh Hashanah Al Shel Acha Rosh Hashanah. Again, Maiser has to be taken from the same year. You're not supposed to take from this year to next year, and therefore, if it was Nilkat, if it was picked before Rosh Hashanah, so then you can't take off Chumas and Maisers on vegetables that were picked after Rosh Hashanah. Again, the Gemara will discuss all of this in more detail. And finally, the fourth of the Arba Rosh Hashanah is B'Echad B'Shvat. That's, again, a machlokus here. We'll have the first day of Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. We're much more familiar with Tu B'Shvat, but the opinion of Beishami is, no, that in regards to the dinim for the trees, B'Echad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon Kedivri Beishami. According to Beishami, for the trees, we count from Echad B'Shvat. What is that? So Rashi explains, Linyan Maiser. This is to take off Maiser from fruits. Vegetables, we said, goes by Tishrei, but fruits go by, according to Beishamai, the first day of Shvat. Shema Asim Peros Ha'ilon Shechontu Kodim Shvat Al Shechontu Liach HaShvat. You're not allowed to take off, again, Trumas and Maisos from fruits from different years, just like you can't do from vegetables from different years. They have to be from the same year. So here, whether it was Chonat, it blossomed. So if it blossomed before Shvat, so then that's considered last year's fruits. If it blossomed after Shvat, it's considered this year's fruits. And therefore, By trees, you go after when it blossoms, when it begins to start being recognizable coming out of the tree as a fruit. So that is the termination for a tree. And the cutoff date, according to Beis Shammai, is Echad B'Shvat. Again, there are many other dinim that the Mishnah doesn't discuss right now. Rashi doesn't bring right now. But Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to most of them in the Gemara. Finally, we have the opinion of Beis Hillel, which is that for the trees, Beis Hillel omrim, b'chamish also b'shvat. Tu b'shvat, b'chamish also bo, that is when the new year is for the trees in regards to this din of not taking off trumas and maisos from one year to the next. Also in terms of netarivai, if it's in the fourth year, sometimes you have to bring up the produce to be eaten in Yerushalayim, similar to the din of Maisa Sheni. Again, all of these are particulars. Here the Mishnah is just telling us the general rules of the calendar year. So the Gemara starts off and says, L'melachim, the first din that the Mishnah taught us was that Echa B'Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the Melachim, L'may Hilchasa. Rashi explains L'may Hilchasa as Kolomar, L'ma Hukba Yom Yuchad L'minyan HaMelachim. Why do we care? Why do we have to set up this specific day? Why don't we just say that Ema Shal Kol Melech U'Melech Taskil Shanoso Miyom Shamebo? As I said before, if a king became the new ruler on the 15th of Tammuz, so say his year started on the 15th of Tammuz and it ended on the 14th of Tammuz next year. That's his first year. Why do you need to have everything similar, all the kings, to go from one year of their reign to the next year of their reign, all on Echad B'Nisan? That's the way Rashi understands this. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different understanding. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, L'may Hilchasa, Bo'ina L'meida Rosh Hashanah Shalhen. Why do you have to know? What practical purpose does it serve to know that it is Rosh Hashanah? Is there a nafgamina over here? So it's more of a halachic discussion. What are the practical ramifications of this? In any event, the Gemara gives the answer to both. The way Rashi understands it, and the Rebbeinu Chananel understands it. And he says, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista Lishtaros. As I already pointed out, this is for documents. A document has to be dated properly. There is a halacha, of course, that if a document is written down, so then the person, when he's collecting the document, Reuven lent money to Shimon. He lent it to him on the 10th day of Nisan. So he lent him the money on the 10th day of Nisan, so they write a document, and Shimon's properties that he owns at that time are mishubad. They are essentially collateral, escrow, for his loan. So if Shimon ever cannot pay back the loan, so since you have a written document, and any properties that Shimon owned at that point in time are mishubad, there's a lien on them. They're like collateral for that loan. And even though Levi bought it legitimately from Shimon and paid Shimon for that, since Shimon owned it at the time of the loan, so Reuven has a prior claim on that, even though Levi paid for it. Levi could try to get his money back from Shimon from other collateral property, from other property that was lien. But Reuven has a prior lien, a shibud, on that property. So a document must be dated properly, because when Levi brought the property from Shimon, so he says, well, I did a title search and there were no outstanding loans as of this date. If there was a document, it's assumed that everybody knows that this document existed. That's the way documents are. A verbal loan, so there's no way that Levi could ever know about that, so there's no shibud on verbal loans on already sold property. And therefore, if the document is not accurately dated, so Levi could be cheated out of his property, because the loan took place on the 10th of Nisan, as I said, and Levi did a title search and there were no outstanding loans. But if you had a document that was predated, in other words, on the 12th day of Nisan, Shimon borrowed money, but they write the loan as occurring on the 8th day of Nisan, so now Levi would be out of his property, potentially, if Shimon couldn't pay back that loan. So you're never allowed to predate a loan. And that's why it's important to document accurately the loans, and that's why it's important to know the year that the loan was written in based upon the leadership of the king, the king's reign. And that's what the Gemara tells us now, the Tanan, because the Mishnah brings down from Shvius, where it tells us, Shtarei Chov Hamukdomim, if you have a predated document, so it's psulin, it's absolutely no good. This is a knas, according to many, that the rabbi said that we won't let you even collect it as the date that it really was given on, but you're only allowed to collect it as a verbal loan. You'll never be able to collect from leaned property, because you did something wrong, so therefore we're not going to give you any power to this loan other than as a verbal loan, like a milva al peh, and you can never go collect from liened property that is no longer in the possession of the person that you lent the money to, for example. So shtarei chov hamukdamim are psulim, they're no good. According to this understanding, they're no good for a person to collect from liened property, but they still are valid in terms of being able to use them to collect from extant property or extant possessions that the person that you lent the money to, who can't pay you back, has. Other Rishonim say, no, this is psulin. It means it's no good, not even to be used as a milva al peh. So that's the importance of documenting these notes, so we know exactly when they are literally written. The Mishnah in Shviyas continues and says, however, hamu'ucharin ksherin, a post-dated document. So Reuven lends Shimon the money on the 10th day of Nisan, but he says, listen, I'll do you a favor. I know you have a lot of properties that you're trying to sell. I'll let you go and sell them, and nobody's going to want to buy them if there's a lien on them, so I'll post-date this document, not as the 10th of Nisan, but as the 10th of Iyar. And I'll give you a month to go and sell all of your properties, and I trust you that you'll pay me back. If you don't, I'm willing to take the loss. And therefore, a post-dated document is halachically allowed, because the only person who's being hurt by the post-dated document is the one who's lending the money. Since he's the one that writes the document, therefore, he's willing to take that potential loss, so there's no problem. In a predated document, you're hurting every single other purchaser of the land of the person that you predated the document who you lent the money to. So therefore, predated documents are psulin, but a postdated document, hamu'ucharin, that would be ksherim. So therefore, that's why we need to document very carefully when Rosh Hashanah is. The Gemara brings down the following brisa, Tanu Rabban. We're now going to practically put what we just said into effect in terms of understanding it, if it wasn't clear. So the Braisa tells us that if a king became the king on the 29th day of the month of Adar, again, one day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Adar is normally not Mole, so it's the 29th day of Adar, and then the king is appointed to be the king, and he's having his inauguration on the 29th day of Adar. The next day, Echad ben Nisan, also Lo Shana, he's now considered in the second year of his reign. The first year of his reign was one day long. But if the inauguration didn't take place until Echad ben Nisan, so then, so then he's going to have the full 354 days of the Hebrew calendar year as his first year of his reign, and only next year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan again, which is the anniversary of his inauguration, does he start his second year. Now, Bryce, it sounds very simple and very easy to understand. The Gemara will now explain a little bit chidushim from this Bryce. Amar. So when we quote the Bryce, it says Melosh Amar Biesim V'Tisha BiAdar Kivin Shigi Echa Benisan Also Loshana. So it repeats what we just said, that if the king was inaugurated on the 29th of Adar, so as soon as it hits Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that's already the end of his first year of his reign. Very short year, 24 hours or less. It's one day, but now, as soon as it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you would document any documents that were listed in this king's reign as being in the second year of this king's reign. Now, Hakamashma, when we turn to Beis Amid Beis, the Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, Limeloch. This Bryce is teaching us the din of our Mishnah that for the calendar year of documents, we go by the king of Israel, the Melochim, and therefore that's Rosh Hashanah, Limelochim, the Yom Echad, B'shana, Choshev Shana. And the second Chiddush is that even one day, it could be less than 24 hours, he was inaugurated in the afternoon of the 29th of Adar, and 3 hours later, it's now Rosh Chodesh. So his year, his first year of reign, was 3 hours. Nevertheless, Yom Echad, B'shana, Choshev Shana. That's still considered a year. Fine, that's the first part of the Brisa. Now, it said in the second part of the Brisa, V'im lo amad, ela b'echad b'nisan. If, however, his reign started, his inauguration was on the first day of Nisan, so then Ein Mon Lo Shana Ashigi Nisan Acher. Then he's going to have a 354-day first year. For example, he's inaugurated 10 minutes after the Tzeis HaKochavim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so then he's going to have full 354 days, minus a few minutes, till his new reign starts next year. Second year of his reign starts on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that's a complete year. The Gemara says, Pshita, this is obvious. We understood this. Once you taught us the first one, we understand this as well. So the Gemara says, no, there's a Chiddush over here. Lo Tzricha, you need this over here. Teaching us the din, the imnu alei me'adar, if in fact they selected him, the electoral college elected him the king. So that took place on election day. So he was nominated to be the king. He was chosen to be the king in the previous year. That was in Adar. However, he was only actually inaugurated in Nisan. So I might have thought, Ma'u detema nimnule tartin shnin. So since he was already appointed the king, he was selected to be the king in Adar, so that should count as year one when he hits Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now he's in year two, even though the inauguration is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Kamash will know that that's not the case, that it's when he's actually inaugurated and not when he's chosen. So the Imnu, his selection, isn't when you document the Shtaros, it's when he's actually inaugurated, and that day will determine. If it's the 29th day of Adar, so then Rosh Chodesh Nisan is already year two of his reign. If it's on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so then that's still year one of his reign until the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Talking about in another Braisa, it tells us, Meis bi'Adar, if the king died in Adar, the Omer Acher Tachto bi'Adar, and another king was already inaugurated in Adar. So how do you document the documents? What do you put on the documents as to which king? So monim shon lezeh v'lezeh. If you want, you can count it for this king. If you want, you can count it for that king. There will be no difference. There's no potential for mistake over here because the reign of the first king is known what year he's in. The reign of the new king, it's known what year he's in. So therefore, you can document it with either one. As Rashi says, in Rotzo Lichto Bishtar Bishtas Ploni Lemelech Shemes Kosev. If you want to write, this is the seventh year of the king that just passed away, so this was his seventh year, you can write it. In Rotzo, if you wish, Kosev Bishona Rishona Lemelech Ploni Shoma. Or you can write, this is the first year of the new king. Either way, it's fine. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, if I'm understanding the Rabbeinu Chananel correctly, he seems to say you do it for both of them. He writes, Klomar, Im Haisa Zu Hashona Shona Asiris L'malchus. So if it was the 10th year of the first king who passes away, so you write down in the document, Monim Eser Shona L'melech Ploni, it's the 10th year of the reign of so-and-so, and then he adds there Shona L'melech Shomad, and it's also the first year of this new king. So if I'm understanding the Rabbeinu Chananel correctly, he seems to say that you write it for both of them. Rashi says you can pick whichever one you want. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to say that you write it for both of them. That's the first part of this Braisa. The Braisa continues and says, Meis v'Nisan, if the older king died in the month of Nisan, V'Omad Acher Tachlid Nisan, they inaugurated the new king in that same Nisan, so then Monin Shana Lazeh V'Lazeh. So again, you count, according to Rashi, the year of the document from whichever king you want, from the, either the king that died or from the new king that's inaugurated. Now, it seems to be the exact same thing. The Gemara will explain in a moment what the Chiddush is. So again, in this situation, Monin Shana Lazeh V'Lazeh. Then, the third case, Meis bi'Adar, if the first king died in Adar, V'Omer Acher Tachto B'Nisan, and they only inaugurated the next king in Nisan, so then you document Monin Rishon L'Rishon. If you're using the first king, then you document based upon his reign. If you want, Ushnia L'Sheni. If you're using the second king, you have to document according to his reign. So there'll be different years in the calendar because it was before Nisan and after Nisan. So if, for example, in the case of the Rabbeinu Chananel just gave, so you would write down, it was in the 10th year of King 1, and it was in the first year of King 2, which would be the 11th year of King 1 if you were to go and actually have continued doing that. So you have to make sure that you document it correctly for each king. Rashi adds over here, and he writes, Habol lichto mishomad zeh lo yimon eshona shnia lemelech shemeis. You cannot say, well, this is the 11th year in the example that I just gave of the first king, because he wasn't the king in the 11th year. So if you're writing it for the first king, the one that died, you can only write it's the 10th year of his reign. Once the new king has taken over in the next year, you can no longer date documents based upon the earlier king, the one who died's reign, because it no longer is his year anymore. And likewise, if you're using the second king, Rashi says, Lo yimona es harishona l'sheni, likros shana sha'amad bo shnia. You can't say this is the second year based upon the fact that the first king died in the previous year, because it's only for him his first year. So again, you have to be very careful in which year you're documenting it when the kings changed over and one died in the previous year and one started his reign in the next year. Now, this is the Braisa. Now we're going to go back and dissect different parts of the Braisa. Omar, Meis bi'Adar, the first case was if the king died, the old king died in Adar, the Omad Acher Tachto bi'Adar, and the new king was inaugurated in Adar. So then we said, like simple like Rashi, Monin Shana Lazeh L'Zeh, you can pick whichever one you want to count, or like Rabbeinu Chananel, you write both of them. Gemara says, Pshita, what is this Braisa teaching us? So the Chiddush is, now Ma'u Detema, I might have thought that Shato Lebei Trei Lomonina, that you can't count this year for both of the kings. You have to pick one. So either pick always the one that died, or you pick always the one that's inaugurated. No, Kamash Rulam, that according to Rashi, is very simple. You can pick whichever one you want. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, you'd have to write both of them. No problem. That's the Chiddush. Second Chiddush was the second part of the Braisa. Meis b'Nisan, v'yomad acher tachta b'Nisan. If they both died and were inaugurated in Nisan, so they're both in the same year. So, monim shana lezeh lezeh. Again, like Rashi, simple. You can pick whichever king you wish to document. Again, or it says, pshita, both of them were correct. So the first one, it was in his year of reign. He lived already past Nisan, so it's called his 10th year of his reign, let's say. And the second one, it's the first year of his reign when he's inaugurated. So this is obvious. What's the chiddush over here? So Gemara again tells us, Ma'o de tema, no, there is a chiddush over here. I might have said, Ki amrinun yom echod b'shona choshu shona. I might have thought that when do we say that a day can count as a year? That's b'sof shona. The person is inaugurated on the 29th of Adar, so his new year starts the next day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ah, I can understand that because that's the end of the year. So therefore, that was year one, and now we're starting year two. So maybe that then only applies b'sof shana. So the chiddush over here is no. Ki amrinim yonecha b'shana, choshu shana, that which we say one day counts as a full year, that I might have thought was only b'sof shana. So the chiddush is no. Afbal b'tchilas shana, I might have said lo amrinim, we don't apply this rule. So nevertheless, kamash v'lon. So the chiddush of this second part of the brisa is, even if a king lived only one day into that calendar year from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so this was his 11th year that this king was the reigning king, and then he died on Beis Nisan, so it still would be called that 11th year, even though it was only one day that he reigned in his 11th year. So that's the chiddush of the second part of this brisa. Finally, the third part of the brisa says, Meis bi'ador of Yomar Acher tachto v'Nisan, if the first king died in Adar, and the new king's only inaugurated after the changeover year for the reign of kings after Nisan Rosh Chodesh started. So then the Braisa said in part three, Monin Rishon La Rishon, Vushnia Lasheni. So then we said that you have to be very careful. And if you're in the previous year, you can only count it based upon the king that died. And if you're in the current year, you can only count it on the king that's now inaugurated. So again, the Gemara says, Pshito, isn't that obvious? What's the Chiddush? So Gemara says, no, you need it again over here. Lotzricha, the Imnu Alemi Ador. Again, if he was appointed, the Electoral College appointed the new king to be the king in Adar. The old king died the third day of Adar, and the Electoral College met, and they elected him the new king on the fourth day of Adar. So now, I might have thought that if you're dealing with the son of the king, Umelech and Melechu, so he really is going to be the king. The kings normally go by Yerusha, right? When the king dies, his son, the prince, takes over. So since they appointed him in Adar, so I might have thought that that's like he's already inaugurated, and therefore you should count this for the second year of his reign as soon as it turns over to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even though the inauguration party is only on the second day of Nisan. Nevertheless, I might have thought that that should be the case. So this should count already as the second year of his reign. So the chiddush of the third part of the brisa is kamash v'lon that we don't say that. Now the Gemara is going to explain this whole idea, how we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the changeover date for the reign of a king to go from the first year of his reign to a second year, etc. So Amar of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Minayin limalochem shein monim lehem elam Nisan. Where do we know that this changeover date for the year of the reign for documentation purposes is going to occur on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So this is based upon the following pasuk shenemar. It says, this is a pasuk from Malachim Aleph, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, it says, when did he build it? Now it tells us two different counting systems in this pasuk. The pasuk begins, Vahi Bishmonim Shana V'Yarbame Yoshana Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Mi'Aron Mitzrayim. First it tells us that it was the 480th year from the time that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And then it tells us another counting system, which is also that 480th year was also Bishana HaRevius to the reign of Shlomo HaMelech. B'Chodesh Ziv, it was the month of Ziv, the Chodesh Ziv, which is Hu HaChodesh HaSheni, which is the second month of the year. Ziv is called Iyar. We'll learn later on the Gemara why. To the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, Limloch Shlomo al Yisrael. So there are two different counting systems employed in this pasuk. It tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was built in the 480th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is also the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech. So why did it need to tell us both of these two? So Meikish Malchu Shlomo Yetzias Mitzrayim. Oh, here is the source for this asmachta to this idea that we change over the reign of the kings from the month of Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because this pasuk juxtaposed, it gave us a hekish between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Malchus Shlomo, so it teaches us, Ma Yitzias Mitzrayim mi Nisan, just like we count Yitzias Mitzrayim from the month of Nisan, so too, Af Malchus, so too, the reign of a king, we use that counting system, Af Malchus Shlomo mi Nisan, we count the reign of a king as each new year starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Where it says, Oh no, Yitzias Mitzrayim gufo minolan de mi Nisan moninan, and how do we know that Yitzias Mitzrayim was counted from Nisan? So the Gemara says, Dilma mi Tishrei monina. Maybe it actually should be counted from Tishrei. How do we know that? We know we left Mitzrayim in Nisan, but how do we know that we don't say that now when it hits Rosh Chodesh Tishrei that we say now it's the second year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was only 6 months, but it's the second year. Someone says, don't think that for a second. Lo soka daitach. Why? Dechsev, vayal Aaron HaKohen el hor ha-hor al pi Hashem. When Aaron HaKohen died, it's interesting, Aaron HaKohen's yard site is the only yard site that is specifically mentioned the day, the month, and the year that we have in the Torah. The only yard site. So it says when Aaron HaKohen was buried on hor ha-hor, he went up to with Moshe Rabbeinu to hor ha-hor, vayom ha-shom bishnas ho-arboyim, letzeis mei yisrael me'eretz Yisrael. It says he died in the 40th year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was b'chodesh ha-chamishi b'echad l'chodesh. Aaron HaKohen's yard site is on Rosh Chodesh Av, on the fifth month, which is Av, on the first day of the month, on Rosh Chodesh. That's what the pasuk tells us. Now, another pasuk says, uksiv, b'hi b'arboim shana, and it was in the 40th year, the same 40th year that Aaron HaKohen died, but here it's talking about not the fifth month, b'ashtei asar chodesh, on the 11th month, b'echad l'chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh of Shvat, the 11th month of the year is Shvat. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael. So when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Klal Yisrael, it's called the 40th year, which is the 11th month of the year. And Aaron HaKohen dies in the 5th month of the year, it's called the 40th year. Now, Rosh Chodesh Av has a Tishrei in between it, between that and Shvat. And nevertheless, they're both called the 40th year. So Midikoi Ba'av, the month of Av is called in the 40th year here, the Koi Bishvat, and even when you're in the 11th month, it's still called the Koi Leishnas HaBoim, it's still called in the 40th year. So clearly you see from here, Miklal, the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Tishrei, that when they pass from Av into Tishrei, you have Elul, then you have Tishrei, yet you see it didn't go now to the 41st year. Miklal, the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Tishrei. So clearly you see that Rosh Hashanah is not considered from Tishrei, at least in regard to the documentation of a king's reign. More questions this, and where it says, okay, in regards to the death of Aaron HaKohen, Meforish, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The pasuk explicitly said, this was in the 40th year, in the 5th month, from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayomas Mishnas Harboim, Litzeis, Bnei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It says, Meforish, that it's talking about 40 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that clearly is understood. Elohai, by the speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael, which was on the Rosh Chodesh of the 11th month of Shvat, it says it's the 40th year, Mimai, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe it was Dilma, Lakomas HaMishkan. Who says that that is counted also from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maybe that's from Lakomas HaMishkan. It's the 40th year from Lakomas HaMishkan. Lakomas HaMishkan took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in year 2. So therefore, it's the 40th year from year 2, which is the 41st year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So maybe Tishrei is the changeover. How do you know that it's not? So Gemara says, no, Kedama Rapapa. Here we have, like Rapapa explained, there's a Gzeira Shavah, which we'll discuss later on in the Gemara, that is in Nehemiah, right? Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer. It's in what we call Nehemiah, and it says over there in one parak Shnas Esrim, and it says in another parak Shnas Esrim, and there we have a Gzei Rishavah. Now we don't have full Gzei Rishavahs in Nach, so there is an Asmacht over here, and it compares these two Shnas Esrim to each other, and just like there, they're talking about the same year, which we will explain in tomorrow's daf. So there it's talking about the same year, so to Hachanami over here with Moshe and Aaron. Hachanami, Shnas HaBoim, Shnas HaBoim, L'Gzei Rishobah. They're both compared together. They're both occurring in the same year. Ma'akan L'Yitzias Yitzrayim, by Aaron HaKohen, it clearly says it's from Yitzias Yitzrayim, so too, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Klal Yisrael in Rosh Chodesh Shvat, in the 40th year, Avkan is the 40th year, L'Yitzias Yitzrayim. Moshe says, okay, fine. U'mimai d'mai say the Av, Kodim. So, wait a second. Now we go back and say, who says that, you're telling me that Aaron HaKohen was in the 40th year when he died, and Moshe Rabbeinu, we spoke to Klal Yisrael in the 40th year, who says that Aaron HaKohen, his was the first of the two events? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's was the first of the two events, that was in Shvat, and Aaron HaKohen, which was in Av, was the following Av from that Shvat. Maybe Moshe's event occurred first, and therefore they're in the same 40th year from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. That's what the Gemara is asking now. How do you know that Aaron HaKohen's death was the first event and Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Chai, so it was the second event? Maybe it's the other way around. Moshe Rabbeinu's event in the 11th month, Shvat, is the first event, and then in the 5th month of Av, that's the second event, and for the calendar year, we go by Tishrei for the reign of a king. So Gemara says again, don't think that for a second. Lo soka daitach, because the pasuk tells us, Tichsev, Achrei Hakosu Esichon. When Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, it says he did it after they defeated Sichon. Vechinoch Nafshi the Aaron, Akasi Havasichon Kayim. And when Aaron died, Sichon was still alive. So clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu's event occurred after Aaron's death, because Sichon was alive at Aaron's death. If Moshe Rabbeinu's event occurred first and he killed Sichon, so then Sichon would not be alive at Aaron's death. How do we know that this is true? Dechsev. Because the pasuk says, and we turn to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Harod. the Kenani, who was the Melech of Arad, heard. Now, Mashmua Shama, what did he hear? So, the Gemara tells us, Shama Shemes Aaron. He heard that Aaron had died. And therefore, Vinistalku Anane HaKavod, the Anane Kavod were present because of Aaron. The bear was because of Miriam, the mon was because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Ananim were because of Aaron HaKohen. There were the seven clouds of glory that surrounded Klal Yisrael, in the four directions, above and below them, and then there was one that smoothed out the path in front of them. So the Anani HaKavod were in the schus of Aaron HaKohen. When Aaron died, they temporarily left. They returned then in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in the meanwhile, when the Kenani heard that Aaron HaKohen had died, so how did they know that? The Nistalku Anani HaKavod, because the Anani HaKavod left and they were now able to see Klal Yisrael. They saw that the protection around Klal Yisrael had been dispersed, and therefore they thought they now had a right to attack Klal Yisrael. The Kenani, according to many, are a reference to the Amalekim. Behind the Siv, the Pasuk says, Vayiru kol ha'idah kigov Aaron. Now, literally, it means that the entire congregation saw that Aaron had died. However, V'omer Rabbi Yavoa, Rabbi Darshan this, he says, Al tikri vayiru, that they saw, Elo, read it, vayiru, they now were able to be seen, because the Anani HaKavod were no longer there, Nistalku Anani HaKavod, and therefore, the Goyim were able to see us, and they attacked us. And this is Kedar Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish of Darshan, Domer Reish Lakish. The word in the Pasuk Ki has four possible explanations. Every time we have the word Ki, it has four possible explanations. Vayiru kol ha'idah ki gova Aaron. So you darish in this over here, Ki mishamish ba'ab l'shonos, either E, it can be or Dilma maybe, Ella, but, or Daha, or because. So we darish in this, because Aaron had died, now Klal Yisrael vayiru were able to be seen. So where it says, is this really correct? How are you telling me that Sichon definitely occurred after Aaron died because Sichon attacked? Sichon is the Kenani? Is that true? Mi dami, Hasim Kenan, Hocha Sichon. Why are you saying that Sichon and the Kenani, Vayishma Kenani, are the same people? Who says that that's true? So I said, no, it is true. Tana, who Sichon, who Arad, who Kenan. It's all one and the same. Often we find names in Tanakh are given to describe something rather than that was the pure given name of the person or the item. So Sichon was Arad, who also was Kenan. Why was he called Sichon? Sichon shedome l'siach b'midbar. He is similar to a siach. A siach is a certain type of animal. Rashi says, ayar ben sus. This is the baby horse over here that is very, very fast. This is what it's called in the article. They translate this as a desert foal. So that was really a characteristic of Sichon, to describe Sichon. And Kenan, that's because that was the name Al-Shem Malchus. So that was the name of the Malchus that he was the king of. And his given name, Umar Shemo, that was Arad, Arad Shemo. So therefore, this Vayishma Kenani Melech Arad is a reference to Sichon, and it clearly is occurring after the death of Aaron. Alternatively, Ikud Yamre, that Arad Shedomeli Arod Bamidbar. Now, Arad is a descriptive term, and Arad is a wild donkey, Chamor Habar, Rashi tells us. And therefore, that's a very strong animal. So Sichon is compared, he's described as being very, very strong. Kenan, again, why was he called Kenani? Vayishma Kenani, because that was the name of the kingdom that he was the king of, Ashe Malchuso. And what was his given name, his real name, Mashmo? Sichon Shmo. His name really was Sichon. So therefore, we clearly can conclude that the events that happened in the 11th month, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, occurred after the events that happened in the 5th month, Rosh Chodesh Av, when Aaron died, and therefore, they're both described as the 40th year, and therefore, we clearly see that Tishrei is not the changeover month for the rules of a king, but Nisan is, in fact, the changeover month. With this, we conclude our first daf in this beautiful Masechta of Rosh Hashanah. Mi'etz Hashem, look forward to learning with everyone, continuing and picking up here tomorrow.